That's Moses and Elijah.
Moses and Elijah.
Why is God bringing up the ministry of Moses? If you notice, why we say it's Moses and Elijah, that does not mean Moses will be resurrected. No, no, no. What we are saying is the anointing which was on Moses will be on one of these two prophets. I'm winding up and listen very closely. The Bible says in verse 6, these have power to shut heavens that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. Who did that in the Bible? Elijah.
Elijah.
And have power over waters to turn them to blood. Who did that in the Bible?
Moses.
Moses. Why is God now beginning to do the same things again? Remember, they rejected Jesus saying, we are Moses' disciples. But God brings these two men. One of them does the same miracles we read in Exodus. He does them again. That excites them. This is what we saw in Moses. You think they'll believe him because of that? But hear me. They'll see Moses again. But this Moses will be saying, Jesus Christ was the Messiah. And they'll do the same sign again. Now, they're able to see the sign of Moses. But he will give a testimony of Jesus Christ being the true Messiah. They'll see the ministry of Elijah. Now, let me ask you something. What makes you believe Jesus Christ was the true Messiah? Who has the answer? What makes you get convinced? What sealed the testimony of Jesus Christ? What declares Jesus as the Messiah? In all the miracles he did in the Bible, what declares
it?
Who has an answer? Why do we say Jesus is the true Messiah? What sealed his testimony? How many are saying, yes, that is true, it's resurrection?
Amen.
Because no man ever died and came back. Now remember, God calls these my witnesses, right? Do you realize that after the rapture, God is opening the eyes of those Jews who are able to see? That Jesus was the Messiah. How will God do that? You think it will be through a rabbi giving a lecture, trying to give historical accounts? Listen to this. When God is fulfilling his word, he will make you relive certain experiences as a testimony. How many years has Brother Branham been dead? Over 60. Do you realize that there are certain prophecies Brother Branham spoke, we are still waiting for their fulfillment? And I thank God for that. He has left certain things for the end time generation. When we see that,
say,
truly, that was a prophet of God. You and I, we've seen the power of Christ living in our lives. You know, when Jesus died and resurrected, as the Jews were preaching, people said, no, it's just a rumor, he didn't resurrect. Others said his body was stolen. But when they saw Peter pray for a lame man walking, they said, hey, when they mention this name Jesus, things happen. That gave a testimony that Jesus is still alive because there was power in his name. Today, you think if you pray for someone and they get healed, you think the world will believe?
They'll
say, no, there should be some other scientific explanation. Today, you tell a Jew that Jesus rose from the dead. They'll say that is history. How do we know the story is true? Even Thomas said, is it really the Lord? Jesus said, touch my hands. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
When God raises these two witnesses, yes, they'll shut the heaven so that it rains not. That's a good testimony. It testifies of the spirit of Elijah. And they believe Elijah. One of them will turn waters into blood. Whether it will be River Jordan, whether it will be in the Mediterranean Sea, but the world is going to talk about those things. What will that testify? It will testify of the ministry of Moses. But you know the third testimony? It will be the greatest of the three. Let us read it. Verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, what is their testimony? Jesus Christ is Lord. What is their message? There is God, and you need to fear him. The beast that ascendeth out of the bottomless pit shall make war against them, and shall overcome them, and kill them. And do what? Remember, these two prophets are witnesses. Witnesses of what? You know, today we have people who call themselves Jehovah Witnesses. As a Gentile, you can never be a Jehovah Witness. Did you see the pillar of fire of Moses? Did you see the works of God in the old? Gentiles, the only testimony we have is what Yahweh, Jehovah, has revealed himself through Jesus Christ. These two prophets, they are witnesses. Witnesses of what? See what happens. They've shown. They are Moses. They've shown. One is Elijah. That's just two of the three testimonies. But whatever miracles they'll be doing, it will be to give a witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The whole world will see the resurrection of Jesus Christ once again. How? Through these men. And what Jesus would do through their ministry. In verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually is Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Are you hearing how he is bringing the story of crucifixion here? Hello? He says, this great city where these two prophets are, and he doesn't call it Israel, he doesn't call it Jerusalem, he calls it Sodom. Today Christians, they put the flag of Israel, yeah, in their offices because they identify with Israel, right? When God looks at Israel, it's a nation whose eyes are blind. And what does he say here? He doesn't call them Israel. He says Sodom. And what? Egypt. Do you know one place where homosexuals are respected? They even have a day to celebrate that. It's in Israel. Did you know that? The beloved Benjamin Netanyahu, every now and then he has to speak about, to celebrate, to encourage these people to say, okay, we wish you a happy whatever it is. I don't know which month they celebrate their day.
Benjamin Netanyahu,
what am I telling you? Don't be caught up in the politics. Israel, the true Israel before God is the spiritual Israel.
Those
who are, yes, we can say religious. That's
Israel.
They're there in Israel, the Jews. Those who are conservative and they truly believe in the law of Moses.
But
much of the nation is secular.
Ethics.
They read about the Exodus story the way you read about Kuomboka. And when God looks at the country, he says Sodom. They don't believe in the testimony of Jesus Christ. And these two prophets, they're killed. He says, their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, which spiritually, meaning physically, it's Israel. Physically, it's a political nation. But spiritually, when God looks at it, he calls it what? Sodom.
And
the two prophets will be killed in the very place where our Lord was killed. John emphasizes that. What is God doing? And listen, the whole world will be watching that.
Now,
remember when John wrote these words, there was no TV. But yet he prophesied that the whole world will see those bodies. How? That's television. That's the internet we're talking about. Verse 9, and they of the people and kindreds and tongues and nations shall see their dead bodies. How can the whole world see two dead bodies? How possible is that? How? Without television, without internet? John wrote these before he knew there was the internet. But in the vision, he saw that the whole world, all the people of the world, will see the two dead bodies. How? Television, internet, right? BBC, CNN, it will be streaming live. And people will celebrate. You know why? Because during the 3.5 years of their ministry, the world will be troubled. They'll prophesy one disaster after another. So the Bible says, the Bible shows, the planet will go through cosmic disturbances. And people will be upset by these fanatics. And when they'll be killed, oh, everyone is happy. Verse 10. And they that dwell upon the earth shall rejoice over them and make merry and shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented them that dwelt on the earth. Verse 11, shall we read together? And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. We read about the resurrection of Jesus, not so. But God will one day give a witness to the whole world that the things we believe are not stories, and that's why everyone sees what is going on here. In concluding, when Ezekiel was taught prophesy, he says in Ezekiel 37 verse 8, when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. There was no breath in them. The nation is there. The mechanics of politics are there. But until the Holy Spirit comes, it is still a dead nation. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. Hallelujah. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, I want you to see this picture. A day is coming as these two prophets begin their ministry, there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Israel. When he says the wind coming from the four corners and different directions, I want you to remember, this is a picture, this is a symbol being conveyed in a vision. What is that wind? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9. Shall we stand as we read this? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9 to 10. If you are there, say amen. Shall we read Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9? All together. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son. Are you hearing that? As the spirit of grace is poured upon the Jews, their eyes are open. They see. They look upon him whom they have pierced. How do they realize that? Through the ministry of the two prophets. Their ministry is telling these Jews Jesus Christ was the Messiah. If Moses and Elijah were here, they would have bowed to Jesus. That's the message they're telling them. And those who will have a revelation, they will be able to see that Jesus, the Messiah, is the one who was pierced on the cross. He came 2,000 years ago. Verse 11, in that day, shall there be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad Rimon in the valley of Megiddon. The ministry of the two prophets opens the eyes of these people. It's not a lot of people, it's just a fraction. How long will the two prophets preach? What does the Bible say? For how many years would the two prophets preach in Israel? 3.5 years, right? They're preaching. What are they doing? Giving a testimony. But at the end of it all, this is what you need to see. If a man is not touched by the Holy Spirit, if Jesus was to come again, they can crucify him again. Right? That is what they'll do to the two prophets. The two prophets will give a witness. Here is Moses. Here is Elijah. They'll do the same miracles Moses did. They'll do the same miracles Elijah did. Remember, their forefathers said, we are Moses' disciples. But God is showing them that even if Moses himself comes, you kill him. Even the same Elijah you respect, if he came in the power of my word, you still kill him. You know, before God judges you, he wants to expose your wickedness. So they'll have to kill Jesus again. Amen.
Amen.
In these two prophets. That is why he calls them my two witnesses. You know, a witness stands on your behalf, right? Amen.
Amen.
And what do they do? The Bible says they'll kill the two prophets. And what will God do? He will broadcast the resurrection for them to see it. They'll come back to life. And they will ascend to heaven. Things which will happen on earth after those two go up will be terrible. That will be the beginning of the great tribulation. You remember what we read in the Song of Moses? A fire will kindle in me. It will bend to the lowest. Do you still remember what we read? A fire will be kindled and it will burn to the lowest hell. Do you know what that fire is? Do you know what that fire is? You know, we need God to open our eyes to understand these things. When you read the story of David, in one place it says, God was angry with Israel, and he moved David to number them, to do a wrong thing. Those who were there during midweek service, you remember that?
Amen.
You read the same story in the other book. It says Satan caused David to do a wrong thing. What does that tell you? Satan does not have a key to do anything he has to do. It takes God to permit even whatever Satan can do. Did you know that? So, in the song of Moses, a fire has been kindled, a fire of my anger. What is God angry at? People have done the same thing they did on Jesus. Remember when they killed Jesus, they said, "Let his blood be upon us and upon our
children.
You remember that? There's no good thing in a human being. Not in you, not in me, not in anyone. We are what we are by the grace of God. No miracle can convert anyone. The miracles these two prophets will do, it won't be miracles of, who is this fellow who calls himself Major One? Bushiri. There won't be Bushiri miracles. The two prophets won't be fanatics. You and I know what a true prophet looks like. We have a seventh messenger in this day. We know how he talked. We know how genuine it was, right? When these two prophets come, that will be God at work. The ministry of Jesus to the Jews. It will only be very few Jews who believe it. Much of the nation will reject it. Many will be atheists. They'll buy into this modern philosophy. And they'll kill the two prophets. That will stir the anger of God. And a fire will burn. The fire will burn from up there to the lowest hell. What fire is that? Revelation 9. What you read in Revelation 9 is the opening of the Great Tribulation.
If you read chapter 9,
the two prophets have been taken up. They've ascended. What does God do? Listen to this now. Do you remember Lucifer fell from heaven? How many remember that? Right? Lucifer used to be in heaven, right? He was cast out of heaven, right? But did you know he's not yet cast down? Lucifer with some angels, their principalities in high places, in the heavens there. There is a sphere they operate on, influencing things on earth. Now, but here is something you need to know. There was a group of fallen angels whom God arrested and bound them in what is known as the deep. Do you have 10 minutes for me to complete this thought? When Lucifer was cast out, there are these angels whom he was working with. They did wrong things. God cast them out. But they still have the freedom to do wrong things, cause people to sin in this world, right? People get possessed with evil spirits. Mashawe. Those are demons. Right? Some demons possess people. Have you noticed that that category of demons, they feel comfort abiding in bodies? Right? They begged Jesus, please. Do you remember the words they said?
Huh?
Do not cast us into the... Hello?
To the deep.
Please don't cast us into the deep. That must be a bad place they don't want to be in. When you read the same story in another gospel, they said, Jesus, what have you come to do to us before it is time? So they know something about where they're heading to, right? Please don't cast us into the deep. If we can be sent even in the... In the what?
The pigs.
In the swine. Unfortunately, some people think those pigs are still alive today. They can't eat any pork because they believe there is a demon there. No. That's not true. But we see something there. Number one, they are afraid of this place called... Hello? What does that tell you? When Lucifer was cast out of heaven, there is a category of angels who were taken and they are tied up, bound in the deep. Now, that's a topic on its own, and I don't have time to go into it, but I want you to catch this. Do you know the Bible speaks about those angels which are reserved? Can we read that?
Amen.
Let's go to Jude. Jude, verse 6. Okay, it only has one chapter. So, chapter 1, verse 6, if you would like. What is that noise, Brother Terry? Jude 1, verse 6. And the angels which kept... Can we all read, please? And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of the great day. Now, did you hear that?
I'm with you.
There are angels which have been put in what? Chains. That's not a physical chain. These are spiritual beings. But they've been put in a certain dimension where they are not active. They don't have influence on us. And it's not a nice place for them. Now, how much time has passed from the time Lucifer was cast from heaven up to all this time? That's a long period of time, right? To you and I, it's a long period of time. Now, in this dimension where these angels are, what is going on? Their anger is brewing. Ever wonder what would happen to a person? Like you get a kid, you say, I don't want you to move around. You are moving around and you put the kid in a certain locality and you lock the door, you lock the gate, and the kid gets angry and upset. Now his freedom has been taken away from him. That will last for a moment, but you need to know these evil spirits have anger in them. Right? Now, whatever God keeps is for a purpose. Do you know if God strikes this world with judgment, he uses things which are already there? Right? The world chooses to worship Satan. Right? God is not blind. He sees what the world is doing. A day is coming when God says, okay, I've given you another chance. I've shown light. You love darkness. Right? So now, that's what the book of John says. The light came, but people loved darkness. Amen. So God now wants you to test the fruit you've chosen. A fire is kindled and it will burn to the lowest hell. The two prophets are taken up. Let's see the fire coming down now. Revelation 9. Shall we all read? And the fifth angel sounded. Can we be there? I want us to be together. We are winding up. Shall we read? And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of what? The bottomless pit. What you read as the bottomless pit is what those devils were saying, don't send us to the dip. Now you see this star falling. He's burning like a flame. See what's happening. Remember, it will burn to the lowest hell. Right? See what happens when he opens the bottomless pit, verse 2. And shall we read? And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit. Now, remember, these are not literal things. These are spiritual events, and the only way they could be communicated to us was through symbols which John has to write down, and those with eyes will be able to see, aha, I see it. Right? A smoke came out of the pit. What is that smoke? Remember, they've been there for some time. These fallen angels perspiring with anger, frustration. All the other fallen angels, they've been doing whatever they're doing in this world. But these were tied in chains. But God is about to wrap up events in the world. And he is opening for these fallen angels. A smoke came out of the pit. What did the smoke do? As the smoke of a great furnace. That is fire. Furnace speaks of what? Fire. Right. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke. Do you know God is light? Every little semblance you have of morality, to know that I'm not supposed to steal, I'm not supposed to, it's as a result of the light of God in you.
Even
when someone is not born again, that ability to know good and evil, it is because of God's light. Because we were made in His image and likeness. But light came into the world and people want to kill the light. What does God do? Let me give you darkness in fullness. So we see these creatures, they are coming out of the bottomless pit. The other time my wife had an experience. Some of you have heard it. She woke up frightened. You've heard her testimony before. She saw a hole. And she started seeing, she would best explain it in her words. One spirit came out. Even hearing the flapping of the wings. But when she was narrating her experience, my attention went to, was it the third one? There was one, as he was trying to come up, it was restrained. It was taught to keep back. Now, Mommy, I want you to explain, how did it take that? There's something she said. I want us to hear it. About the anger. Now, brothers from Nigeria will be on me and they'll be telling me when someone is speaking in the audience, you don't take the microphone there. So the reason we do that, there are people who rely on these sermons.
I greet you in the name of Jesus. So in this dream, I was up like that on top. And then I was like in a place. I can't really describe or explain this place. I can't say it had wars or it's a place like part of our world, everyday world where we live in. Then I saw a hand. It moved like this. Then when it did that, there was like a lid which opened. Then I saw a creature. It came out. It was flying. It came out. It flew. The first one went. The second one did the same, and I could hear even the wings flapping like that where they were going. I don't know whether that was the third or the second. So when this one was about to come out, I saw it like it had a tail like a scorpion. Then it paused. Because before they could come out, there was a voice that spoke. Like a command that only three were allowed to come out. It was more like it was a final authority. There was no argument. It has said what it has said. So this third one, as it was coming out, it kind of paused because there was a fourth one which wanted to follow it. But the fourth one couldn't come out because of the command that had been given. So the fourth one was very angry, very, very angry. You know, like sometimes when someone is angry, they are alone, they are even talking like that. And then because of its anger, when the third one paused, they were like trying to communicate. I don't know what they were saying, like they were communicating. Then the third one flew and went. Then I noticed on the side, like a wall, there was a reflection of fire. This fire, you know, fire has different colors, but this kind of reflection, more like when we bend tires, the red smoke with black smoke fire, a reflection like that. So I started wondering to say, this reflection, where is it coming from? So when I peeped, like in the hall, like I don't know that I can say there was another room. That's when I saw that fourth one which had remained. It was still angry. It had a thing in its hand. Maybe like, for lack of a better term, I can say a stick. I couldn't see the other side, but it was like it was brewing something. And inside I could tell that, oh, that's where that reflection of that fire was coming from, whatever was going on inside. And that's how they dream ended.
Amen. When she said that, the first thing I told her was, have you ever read Revelation chapter 9? When you read verse 3, and there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. So when she saw this scripture, she was very surprised. And unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So in the next part of this sermon, we'll continue from that point. We want to look at what are these greens which the locusts were taught don't harm the green things, only harm those who don't have the seal of God on them. Because remember, the great tribulation has started. And that will go on for 3.5 years. And finally, God will judge this world. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this afternoon. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you've given us to sit and read your word and talk about these things. Forgive us our sins, O Lord. Help us, Father, in our weaknesses and in all ways that our lives don't bring out a true testimony. Help us that as each day goes by, may we be better children of God. That we not be caught up in the blindness, for we can see how Gentiles are full. They're trampling over that which was once precious to them. And we can see all news and all world events now are pointing back to Israel. And the world once again is angry with that nation. We read in your word about the souls under the altar. And they were told that they have their brethren who be killed as they were. And we know as we see these world events, something troubling is brewing up. And in doing that, people think they're doing you a service. But we know it will be your great shaking of the land in these last days. Heavenly Father, help us. We don't want to be a people caught up in slumbering like the foolish virgins. The foolish virgins were caught up and they slept because the Lord, the bridegroom, tarried. May it not be so with us, Father. May we have oil in our lamps, that our lights may be trimmed up and clear. For the day is dark. But Lord, we trust in your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.